Eric Winquist is the visual effects supervisor from Weta FX on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. He discusses the magic to make the apes and the environment real. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. He discusses what appealed to him in the story.
When I first read this script, the thing that jumped out at me pretty straight away was, in Noah, you've got this really intriguing sort of young character who's still a bit naive, you know, hasn't really experienced anything, and he goes on this really interesting journey, meets Raka, and so we've got these really interesting characters. And then the other side of that is you've got this fantastic villain with Proxima Caesar, played by Kevin. It's just an enormous character, which these two different, completely different personalities clashing. But then that's great. But the thing is, this is all set in this really amazing what if kind of scenario, where now we fast forward hundreds of years after the events of the Caesar trilogy, and you start to kind of, we get to imagine, like, what does the planet look like post humanity? You know, what happens as nature really fully takes over the world? And that is a really fundamentally interesting concept to start exploring just in your head, and then to have to put that in, to turn that into imagery, is a really amazing challenge.
More with Eric Winquist from Weta FX on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in a moment. He talks about advances made since the first Rise of the Planet of the Apes film in motion capture.
When we did Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that film sort of came on the heels of the work that was done in Avatar in terms of the performance capture, the technology and the processes that were worked out to make that film possible, except that we then took that idea and took it outside. You know, we took it out on location in the sunshine, because that had really not been done before. And through those three Apes films, that technology kind of improved. It became more robust. We were able to then take it outside in the rain or take it out in the snow as those films progressed. And this has actually kind of a similar trajectory, in the sense that we just had Avatar, you know, sequels that came through production that then sort of vaulted that performance capture forward in different ways. And we're also now benefiting from a lot of the same ideas, but taking them out on location again. You know, so we're not in a stage with our capture sessions. Primarily, we're out in the world, out in the wilds of Australia, and dealing with all the sort of elements that nature is throwing at us. But we still have to get a lot of this really nuanced performance capture in those spaces.
Here he talks about working with Wes Ball.
Working with Wes is a kick. Exuberance is the word that comes to mind. I think all through prep on this project, Wes has a very, fantastic visual imagination. And so a pitch through a sequence meeting for the team, you get through that process with Wes very animatedly kind of, you know, talking through the storyboards, and then he does this, you know, lots of sound effects. You get through that process and you've seen the film, you've seen the sequence in your mind. And you're like, I want to watch that movie. You know, so I think he's really great at getting everybody jazzed about the project, you know, getting everybody jazzed about what we're about to set out and accomplish together. But he's also, I think, working with Jula, this, our cinematographer. I mean, this is, I think, his third collaboration with Jula now. The two of those guys have quite a shorthand. And so they can communicate with each other very well in terms of what they're trying to set out. And so suddenly, out of no place, now we've got a camera that's going to be swooping in and doing all these complex moves. And when you look at the sequence cut together, there's a very cohesive kind of blocking of complicated choreography of actors and camera kind of dancing together, where information is revealed just in time as when it needs to be, which makes for a really fantastic sequence.
Yes, there is water that we'll see in this film, and then you have to add apes to that too.
There are a number of nail biters in this movie, but I think probably among the top of them is the water work that we're going to be into, right? So we've got, you know, one sequence that takes place in and around a river. We've got another sequence that involves a large flood. And in both cases, that's asking us to have to now not just simulate, you know, complex water simulations, but also introduce apes into the mix. And now we're talking about wet apes, which, you know, we've seen a shot or two in the previous films, but that's really really challenging work. We've got a very demanding scenes because, you know, both of these cases are taking place in broad daylight. You know, there's no hiding things at nighttime or anything kind of like that. We've also got a very challenging sequence that takes place around a human hunt in tall grass, which is a throwback to the 68, you know, Charlton Heston film, right? That scene is going to be quite complex in the sense that we've got a lot of our feral humans running around, splashing through the river, but they're being chased by marauding apes who aren't there on horses with CG zebras. It's just like a really kind of chaotic sequence that, you know, we've got our photography with our stunt players, you know, running around in their feral human costumes, splashing through the river. But now we're gonna have to work all of our apes in amongst all that splashing into the tall grass and working through that.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is at a theater near you. Looking forward to that one. Welcome to Savings with Sci-Fi Talk Plus. With your subscription, you can customize your own playlist to share with the other subscribers from over 1,000 episodes. There's exclusive videos on movies and television you must see. Plus, exclusive podcast series and episodes. All are commercial-free and uncensored. I field your questions and requests and ask me anything. There's also a free 30-day trial period with a special introductory price of only $2.50 a month. And if you opt in for a yearly subscription, that comes out to only $2.08 each month. Look for Trek Tuesday, my Star Trek series with interviews from every generation, plus a special on the acclaimed series Silo, and not to mention my database of interviews since I started podcasting in 2005. And there's my original series, The Science of Mars, as scientists, astronauts, writers, and historians speculate on what it would be like to live on the angry red planet. All at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. Subscribe now for only $2.50 a month by clicking on the link in the show notes for easy enrollment, and you can listen on the device of your choice. But act quickly, this will expire June 1st. For Byte, this is Tony Tolato.